Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. Welcome back to Trailblazers. I'm your host, Melody Bradford. Every community has legends, the people whose stories become part of its identity. In the city of Easton, one of those names is Holmes. For decades, Larry Holmes stood at the top of the boxing world as heavyweight champion, earning the nickname the Easton Assassin and putting this city on the global stage. But today's conversation isn't about boxing titles. It's about legacy, reinvention, and carving out your own path. Our guest today is Larry Holmes Jr., an entrepreneur who has spent his career building his own identity, from real estate and hospitality to his newest venture, Legend Cigar Bar. Larry has also worked in player development at the Mohegan Sun Casino, mentored athletes, and navigated the opportunities and expectations that come with growing up in a household led by a world champion. Today, we're talking about entrepreneurship, family, risk-taking, and the lessons learned from building something meaningful in your own hometown. Larry, welcome to Trailblazers.
Thank you for having me.
Larry, can you take us back to the beginning and tell me what it was like growing up in Easton and what kind of household you grew up in?
Sure. So, I mean, it sounds crazy when I say it, but believe it or not, I grew up like any other normal kid in Palmer Township. growing up in Easton or the Lehigh Valley was, you know, it was nice because everyone just got along. And I went to public school. I rode the bus. You know, we rode bikes outside. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have any cell phones. Played till the streetlights came on. Mm-hmm. Had to be home. You know, so life was pretty normal from my point of view. I mean, I just had a dad that fought and was a boxer, mm-hmm. who happened to be world champion. You know, so
you that know, little detail.
Yeah. So growing up was what I would compare to any other kid in the Lehigh Valley. Similar, at least.
And your father was Larry Holmes, obviously, and one of the greatest heavyweight champions in boxing history. What was it like growing up with a global sports icon as your dad? I mean, did you have, you know, like random drop-ins by, you know, celebrities?
I mean, he was always just dad. You know, he was just a normal dad. Yeah. Pretty intense at times, but you know, we went and watched him train and work out, and, you know, he fought every day. So you got to learn a lot of stuff from being in the gym. And then, you know, in terms of people coming by the house, you know, one day, like Sugar Ray Leonard would come by, or, you know, Don King would pop in, you know, but it was just normal. They were just like family members coming by. So it never really stood out to me as a kid. You know, they were just new people.
Yeah.
And you know, I was never really starstruck because I didn't really understand, I guess, who they were at mm-hmm. the time. The life was pretty basic, pretty simple, with, you know, chauffeurs and Rolls Royces and things like that. But for the most part, it was my normal.
Yeah.
It was my normal.
I have to say, so I'll share a quick story here. My uncle was your dad's attorney. Yeah. You know, so your dad really kept it very close. So I almost get the sense that, like, the people that surrounded him became like extended family for you guys, right?
Sure.
But interestingly enough, I think he had given my uncle a blue velvet running suit, right?
Suit.
Yeah, tracksuit. Yeah. And on Father's Day, no less. And Larry, your dad was like, yeah, he was like, he would wear it to every single boxing match. He's like, and it just meant so much to him, but it really meant so much to me. So it's good to know that you had that kind of extended family around you.
Sure, but sure.
Speaking of family influence, how did your parents, your mom and your dad, because she is a force of nature,
yeah.
I love Diana, influence your outlook on work and discipline and success?
You know, my parents, you know, ever since I was young, you know, we would ask questions like, you know, our house is pretty big. Like, we like to go to our friend's house because it's small. We can run around and, like, mm-hmm. it's different. And, you know, one day at school, a kid called me a rich boy. Mm-hmm. And I came home and I said, you know, what does that mean? And my dad looked at me and says, let's get something straight. I'm rich. You're broke.
That's great.
He goes, you know, if you want something in life, you got to work hard for it, just like I did, you know. So that was the lesson that was pretty much always taught in the house, you know, from him, from my mom.
Yeah.
That if you wanted something bad enough, you had to work hard for it.
Yeah.
You know, there was no shortage of discipline, at least a disciplined mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, our parents weren't like physical with us or anything like that, but they trained us to be a certain way. They mm-hmm. trained us to think a certain way. And a lot of that came through, you know, watching what my dad had to do to prepare for fights.
Mm-hmm.
The discipline that he had and, you know, in the training and just the mental and physical work.
So when you grow up with a famous last name, people often assume that your path is already written. When did you decide you wanted to build your own lane?
That day my dad told me I was broke. I was like, oh, I got to figure it out. But no, I at a young age, you know, I started working when I was 11. I was a maintenance man at my dad's, at his restaurant and property. So I was trying to train to be a property manager.
Mm.
So I would walk around and sweep up the cigarette butts and clean the windows and stuff like that.
Wow.
So I did that every summer when I wasn't in school. And that continued up until probably I was about, you know, 19, 20 years old. That became like my regular job. You know, I was a property manager, and I would learn from, you know, the other guys that were working there. So I learned a different trade and skill set to, you know, take care of property and to learn how to manage people's personalities, because he had, I mean, there was five floors. He probably had like maybe 15 tenants, 20 tenants. So I had to work with the tenants. So, you know, I started learning, you know, people skills at a young age. But I just knew, like, if I wanted something in life, I had to kind of set my own path and kind of do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into real estate, both personally and professionally,
sure,
that chapter of your life in a second. But before we get there, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the player development experience at the Mohegan Sun. You spent time working in player development there.
Yeah.
What did that role teach you about leadership and mentorship and taking care of special clients?
So Mohegan was special because, you know, they had a hospitality down to a science.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that, you know, we were taught there was that, you know, people come into the casino and it might be their only time that they get to experience this casino. They might save up all year. They might save up for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be their only experience there. So we want to make sure that they're treated with respect and courtesy so they have a good time, so they want to come back, because it might just be their only time you mm-hmm. ever see them. So I, you know, learned that, you know, treating people with respect goes a really, really long way, especially when you're dealing with high-end clients and there's gaming involved. So there's mm-hmm. losses with the wins. So it's how do you...
It's a little bit of an education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you manage relationships when someone is down, you know, not just 5,000, but maybe 5 million, and still make them feel respected, comfortable, happy, and wanting to come back. So it's a skill, it's a talent, but it takes time to learn. You make a lot of mistakes, but it's a people business for sure.
Yeah, which probably set the stage for a little bit of what you're doing now.
Sure.
So now let's get back to that real estate career. You built a career in real estate before stepping away for the chapter that you're, you know, focusing on now. What drew you into real estate originally? And, you know, you do your own real estate, but
sure,
you also probably have your own real estate. But mm-hmm. then you've also, had your real estate license.
Correct.
And you actually, at one point, I think it's now with Morganelli Properties, right?
Yes, yep.
But historically, you also worked with Ryan Serhant,
yeah,
out of Manhattan. Talk to me a little bit about that,
yeah,
chapter of your life.
So I guess, you know, the real estate, again, you know, my dad was a developer.
Okay.
You know, when
yes.
he wasn't fighting, yeah, he was building buildings, you know, managing property. So from a young age, I always wanted to own property. I wanted to own land. That was always my goal. So from a young age, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. When I left the casino, one of my clients owned about 60 properties in the Bronx, mm-hmm. and they asked me if I would work with them. So I, you know, joined their team, and I started managing property, managing tenants in New York, in the Bronx. And again, it was those people skills that kind of came in handy. So the things I learned from Mohegan, I took to property management, and that's where real estate kind of really kicked into high gear for me,
mm-hmm.
because I started seeing, you know, one, how much money and how lucrative it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, listen, I want to do this myself. You know, I want to buy property And that's where it all began. So I got my real estate license and completely different side of the business.
Yeah.
But again, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with clients. So you just, you know, you own in on your skill set and make the best of it. You know, I had a great experience with Sirhan in New York. I learned a lot from Ryan.
And Ryan is, for the listeners, he has a couple of different shows on Bravo and
Netflix. He is Owning Manhattan on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing ride, like just learning from Ryan and learning from the team and just the mindset of all the individuals that work there. It's top notch where they just are so driven.
What drew you to that team specifically? The energy, the possibility?
Yeah, well, I wanted to surround myself with people that wanted more and that were driven. And I felt like that was a perfect experience where Ryan had his own television show. He has his own training. He has his own just about everything. He's a branding king in a sense. You know, so I wanted to learn from him. And I think I learned a lot.
So you made a decision to pivot.
Sure.
You've recently stepped away from real estate, and you're now on referral, I believe, to focus on new ventures. What led you to make that pivot?
Yeah, so, you know, I've wanted to open up a small cigar lounge for a while. Cigars is one of my favorite pastimes. So when I moved home in 2019, I kept looking for a lounge that was similar to the one I left when I was in Connecticut.
Okay.
And there was nothing like it. So I started looking for a place. Since I was in real estate, I had access to the MLS, and I could see what was available. And it took probably about 4 or 5 years until I found the right place, which was honestly larger than I had anticipated. But I just kind of took a leap and went for it and figured out how to make it work. Opening a cigar lounge was always, you know, one of my dreams. I didn't plan on opening a bar and a restaurant along with it. But again, you know, just shoot for the stars. So
you actually transformed the Easton bus station.
Yeah.
It was formerly that. And to see that, to see what it was back then.
Yeah.
And now to see what it is now, it's like, oh my goodness, a complete departure. But it's unbelievable. You transformed it, really. Entrepreneurship, though, involves risk. How do you personally approach risk when starting something new? Because that's no small venture, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it could be scary. It is scary. Every day is scary. but you just have to go for it. If you believe in something wholeheartedly and you know that you want it so badly, you have to make sacrifices and you have to take risk. There's really no way around it. You just have to go through it. And if you have a good support team, and even if you don't, you have to find that strength within to just kind of go for it. It's no easy task, but, you know, I can't say don't be afraid because, yeah, a lot of times you are afraid. But you have to put that fear to the side and just go for it.
Embrace it. Lean in.
For sure.
Now, you had mentioned that you wanted to build something similar to what you had, what was in Connecticut when you were there. Why a cigar bar? Why now?
Yeah.
And talk to me a little bit about Legends, right? Yeah. So you can find me there on Friday nights. But for the benefit of our listeners, tell me what the atmosphere is like.
Yeah. So one, I wanted a cigar bar because, well, really, I wanted a cigar lounge because it's a place where you can go and unwind and have good conversations with like-minded people. It's the one place I always felt like I could walk into and spark up a conversation with someone without knowing who they are, where they're from, what they're about, and the common denominator was we're smoking cigars. So it gave me a chance to just, you know, breathe in a sense. Even though you're breathing in smoke, you're breathing. And it was therapeutic. So I felt, especially after COVID, like, all right, people need to reconnect. People need to talk. You know, we can't be so divided. So if we open a cigar lounge and we can put people together, you know, maybe we can start those conversations again and start having real conversations and get to know one another. Because I think at the root of everything, people just want to get along and be happy and live life, take care of their families.
And if, for the benefit of the listeners, if they wanted to go there, is it membership? Is it open to the public?
Sure.
Do you host events? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're open to the public. We do have a membership component for those that are seeking a little bit more, but we're open to the public Wednesday through Sunday. We have private events, we have public events, wine tastings, bourbon tastings, cigar pairings. We're getting ready to do some cigar dinners where we're pairing food and cigars.
You have a full-service kitchen in there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in theory, if you come to hang out, you can also grab
eat.
Some dinner.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we have curated cocktails, curated plates,
premium
cigars. So it's really the full experience. You know, I wanted people to feel comfortable when they walk in. So when you come in, it's kind of like walking into my living room in a sense. And that's all by design. It's all intentional. We want people to feel at home. And we do our best to train our staff to make sure that people are feeling like they're at home.
Any collaborations or local or otherwise,
sure.
Or any events, you know, that are of particular note?
Sure. So we partnered with Pops McCann Distilling Company. So we distill our own bourbons, whiskeys, ryes, vodkas, rums, gin. We also just partnered with Network Magazine, who's our media partner.
I saw that.
So they're helping us promote our March Madness event, which is basically a full day of the NCAA tournament games and in a business setting. So it's 12 to 5 at Legends. We have some casino games where we'll be raising money for charity. Heart of a Legend and Strengthen Love Foundation are a part of the event. So all of the money raised will be going to them. And it's just going to be a fun time where people can come, enjoy cigars, network, make some really good connections, have some good cigars, some good food, some good drinks, and watch some good basketball.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I might have to make a plan to be there because I do love basketball and I love me some cigars.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Entrepreneurship is rarely smooth. What challenges have you faced along the way and how have you overcome them?
That's a tough question. There's, you know, every day has its own set of challenges. You know, every day, regardless if you're an entrepreneur or not, everybody wakes up with challenges and things they have to go through. Like I alluded to earlier, you just have to do it. You just have to find that strength within and go through it. There's no magic formula to getting through challenges. You know, do some research. And I mean, sometimes it's just getting beat up, right? Like sometimes it is, you know, letting that challenge beat you to figure out a way to overcome it. You know, so there's no magic pill, if you will.
Yeah. Family plays an important role in your life, clearly. From your parents and sister to your wife and kids, how does family influence your decisions today?
My wife tells me what to do, and I listen.
Smart man. You go, Janelle.
Yep, that's it. That's the plan. No, I'm driven to be able to provide for my family, and I want to leave our kids with something that they could be proud of, just like my dad and my mom did for me.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to walk around with their head held high, knowing that, you know, we care about them and we're doing something positive. We want to leave a lasting impression for them and a path, if you will. So they don't necessarily have to do the same thing that we're doing, but if they could see what it took, the determination, the discipline to just achieve something, then I think they'll be successful.
And how do you manage schedules and school and everything else when you're a small business owner and your wife has a pretty powerful career too?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. She's definitely not a stay-at-home mom, even though she worked from home. I'm reminded of that daily. But, you know, you just have to use your calendar a lot. And then you have to set alarms, a lot of alarms. But you also have to just remember what it's all about. You know, we're doing it for our family, you know. So when you get in at 3 a.m. and you have to wake up at 6:30 to take the kids to school, yeah, it's tough. But, you know, this is what you chose to do. So you just do it. But no, I think having a support system, you know, writing things down, keeping it in front of you is really what kind of helps keep me on task.
And you talked a little bit about risk. You talked about challenges. What keeps you up at night? What, you know, what scares you?
Well, the rain last night. The rain and the...
was no joke.
Yeah. Snowstorm and then ice pellets and then snow again.
The Northeast can be interesting.
Yeah, it
March.
Was pretty interesting. So last night, that was what kept me up. And I'm thinking about all kinds of things that could go wrong.
And this will air next Tuesday.
Yeah,
so it would have been
hopefully
last week.
Yeah, nicer next week. But who knows? We could have snow next week. So no one knows. But I worry about my staff. You know, I want to make sure that they're happy. I want to make sure that they're taken care of, that we're doing everything we can do to make sure they can then provide for their families. You know, that's the big thing. You know, being an entrepreneur, a lot of times you put yourself to the side to be able to provide for your guests and your staff. So things like that keep me up. You know, I'm always trying to improve and make sure that we could do more and do better.
Mm-hmm. After all your experiences, business, family, and community, how do you define success today? What is success for you?
I mean, success for me, seeing people come into the lounge. You know, every person that comes in, it's a win. And having the conversations and hearing the stories and sharing time with people is a big win for me. Getting home and seeing my kids is, you know, that's my championship, right? That's my belt. So being able to spend time with them, you know, means the world to me. There's a lot of wins in life. You just have to really be able to see them and pick them out. I think we're surrounded by them, but you have to tune in. So, yeah, there's a lot of successful stories and situations in my life right now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's just take a moment here for family business, right? If there is an entrepreneur that's looking to take a leap into a family business situation, because Jeanette, your wife is involved, you mm-hmm. know, to a degree, you have, you know, people that are also involved as part of the partnership. Tell me a little bit about what advice you would give the entrepreneur looking to make the leap and how to manage a family business, because sometimes it can be challenging.
Yeah. Communicate calmly. I think that's a big one.
Good advice.
Because it's, you know, it gets tough, you know, and tempers flare, and there's no reason to yell and scream at your partner because of a business decision, whether it's a mistake or, you know, something good. Like, there's no reason. So you just have to communicate calmly. That's the biggest thing I think anyone can take and use in all aspects of life. And also have patience, because it takes time to build. It takes time to go through things. And a lot of times it's not on you. It's on everyone else. It's, you know, permits. It's, you know, finding the right people. It's, mm-hmm. you know, so you have to have a lot of patience and grace. Give yourself grace. Don't beat yourself up. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing was, you know, built overnight. And it takes time, and you have to give yourself balance. You know, as much as you work hard, you have to find time to take care of yourself. Because if there's no you, then there's no anything else. So you have to take care of yourself. So those are the things I would say to any entrepreneur. Like, you know, just look in and see what you really need to do in all aspects of life, not just for the business.
You're still pretty young, but what are you most proud of?
Making it to 43.
Did you ever doubt that?
No, I mean, listen, you know, I grew up in the Valley. I grew up in the Lehigh Valley, and, you know, we had a lot of fun growing up. And, you know, it's very easy to go the wrong way and take, you know, a different path. And I'm glad that I stayed on this journey of wanting to be an entrepreneur, because there's a lot of winds and curves, and you're never really sure where life is taking you sometimes. But, you know, looking back at 11-year-old me, that was what I always wanted to do, and now I'm finally doing it. You know, it might have took 30-some years, but here I am.
Yeah. Did you ever for a minute think, I'm not going to come back to the Lehigh Valley? And was it family that brought you back, or... you know, because you could have been successful. Yeah. I mean, Connecticut was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I didn't think I was coming back at one point in time.
Okay. Where did you think you were going to stay? Connecticut?
Yeah, I love Connecticut. Okay. I think it's beautiful. You know, it was right on the water and close to Greenwich. We were near the city. Could mm-hmm. take the train in. You know, so I loved it. And I had a lot of great friends, great support system. But, you know, once we had children, it was like, all right, I want to spend time with my family.
Yeah.
I want them to grow up similar to how I grew up and be around the people that I love and care about. So that was the big decision to move home.
And the Lehigh Valley certainly provides that backdrop, so that's great.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
What advice would you offer leaders navigating today's world? We live in some interesting times. What advice would you give leaders today?
Listen. Listen to people. Listen to your staff. Listen to the people you're working with. Understand where they're coming from. Understand what their pain points are, what the pressure is that they're underneath. Because as leaders, sometimes we always just want to point and, you know, explain to people where we need to go. But sometimes you need to stop and listen to the people that are helping you get there. Because they're, you know, sometimes they know what's really happening. So that would be the biggest piece of advice is just listen.
What's next?
I don't know. You know, we're still just getting through the opening phases of Legends. You know, we have dreams of doing, you know, multiple, you know, cigar lounges. We have dreams of doing our own cigar brands. We have dreams of doing our own bourbon line. So there's a lot of things that are in the pipeline for us. We're just taking it one step at a time.
Fair enough. Legacy can be a powerful thing. Sometimes it's something you inherit, a name, a reputation, a history. But the most meaningful legacy is the one you build yourself. Larry Holmes Jr. is doing exactly that, taking the lessons of discipline, resilience, and ambition he learned growing up in Easton and channeling them into entrepreneurship, community building, and creating spaces where people can connect. Whether it's through business, family, or the city he calls home, Larry's story reminds us that success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about how you grow, how you adapt, and how you bring others along with you. Larry, thank you for sharing your journey with us today. And to our listeners, if this conversation resonated with you, share it with someone who's chasing their own path. Until next time, keep taking risks, keep building boldly, and keep blazing trails. Larry, thanks so much.
Thank you.